Good morning. Yeah, there you go. Can you hear me on the thing? If we could, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful sunshiny day. Even though it's a little chilly, it's still your day, a new day that you've created, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for getting here safely, for everything that you do for us, Lord. And we just ask this morning, Lord, that you would let us know what you want us to know about the missions being performed, the work being done at African Christian University in Lusaka, Zambia. In your son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, back in November, Mike's probably around the corner soon or something, but Mike set up a Zoom to introduce me to Ben. And it was really great. It was the middle of my work day. They thought I'd be driving down the road in the truck when they pulled up the Zoom, but no, I got to a truck stop in Butler there and sat, and we did a little Zoom meeting. But during that Zoom meeting, I was able to figure out that there's a lot going on over there in Ben's life and the life of the university over there. So as we got back and talked about it, the first missions meeting after that, it was like, well, can I really do that in 5 minutes during church? Probably not purvey everything that we'd like to purvey about this. So bear with me. I'm not a school teacher, and this is my first PowerPoint, so probably going to have to go back and forth a little bit between the slides. Ben gave me a pretty decent outline, and but I couldn't follow completely because I've got to give you guys some background first to get where we're going. So we'll start with some history of Zambia. It's rich, beginning with the early inhabitants. This first slide, though, just to get going here. This is the graduating class this year. That's Ben. He is in his vice chancellorship right now. That was another thing we're going to talk about that he's taken on besides teaching agriculture, the Zambian flag, and then some students studying in a classroom. But getting to the history part of it here. Pre-colonial era. Zambia's history is rich, like I said, beginning with its early inhabitants, the Khoisan people, followed by the influx of Bantu-speaking tribes in the 12th century. Now, the Khoisans, they came from east coast of Africa, and the Bantu, they came from west Africa. And the Khoisan were basically hunter-gatherers. That's what they did. And when the Bantu showed up in the 12th century, they were more agrarian, you know, agricultural farmers, and metal workers. So they were taking iron out of iron ore and making tools, which helped with their agricultural work, you know, to be able to make hand tools and to do things like that. So, and then you have these two cultures blending together already. And then the colonial period came. In the late 19th century, Zambia, known as Northern Rhodesia at that time, came under British colonial rule. The discovery of copper, which is why the British took it over, because, hey, we've got all this copper to mine and make money off of, led to significant economic changes and the growth of urban centers. So here you have these agrarians and these hunter-gatherers. Now in this colonial period, they're having to, you know, with the mining and everything, they're starting to come into these urban areas. You're getting more of that going on. So that's got to be quite of an adjustment, I'm sure, for them and for the Europeans that are coming in there to do the mining and stuff, too, to meld together. Then the struggle for independence is after that. So there's a nationalist movement leading to Zambia's independence in 1964. So that's fairly recent. I mean, you know, 4 years before I was born, so. But pretty interesting. A key figure in that is the gentleman right there. His name is Kenneth Kaunda, and he was the first president of Zambia. And he's a very interesting leader for that area because, you know, most African leaders he was very unlike most of them. He was not, you know, he was president from 64 to 91, but he was strikingly different type of leader because from the other neighboring countries, because he declared a belief from the beginning that their democracy could be a place where both the native peoples and the Europeans could live together and work together. Like, that wasn't a thing back in the, you know what was even going on over here in the 60s. So that was his, you know, goal and his point. And also another really interesting fact about him is that he also stepped down from power, which is like, if you know any history of Africa, that very few of those guys do. They either die or get put out of office. So he was not forced from power. He voluntarily left. And then following his stepping down, Frederick Chiluba took over, and that's the famous video in 1991 where he comes out and claims Zambia is a Christian nation. So that's like the first, I mean, probably not the first, you know, there was churches there already. The original Lusaka Baptist Church was already started by 1960, but it was not reformed until about 1989, somewhere in there. But that's where it all started. So I said we're going to bounce around here a little bit. Let's go back to, this is Zambia, okay, the little violet. You see that there? So it's about the size of Texas with about a little over 20 million people all together in the country. And then Lusaka is more, you know, you can kind of see it right here. It's not the best slide, but right there's Lusaka. And it's about the land lay of Detroit. You Michigan people would know that, what size that is. So, but in that, where Detroit's population is probably under 700,000, Lusaka's is 3 to 4 million in that lay. And it's not the same kind of city as we think of cities, like a city center. It's more of a neighborhoods laid out, you know, more like what we would call the suburbs, but it's just the whole city's laid out like that, kind of. Probably stuff like that, neighborhoods. It's kind of how Ben was explaining it. So pretty interesting stuff there. But so we're going to go back to, like I said, we're gonna be a little bit of a roller coaster here. So let's see. I want to go, which way? Okay. Bring the cultural formation, legacy of colonialism. The colonial era left a lasting impact on Zambia's social and political structures. English became the official language, and Western education systems were introduced. So ethnic diversity, you know, we are ethnic diverse in the United States. And Vodi has said before that Houston is the most ethnic diverse city. But they have over 70 ethnicities in ethnic groups in Zambia. So the culture is a tapestry of traditional beliefs. So you've got all these different tribal beliefs going on with the other things. And obviously with the Western influence, you know, of the Christianity and the different things. These influences are evident in social norms, cuisine, as the food you see up there. I'm not sure what that is, to be honest with you. But you could Google, there's lots of different food stuff. I'm sure they got lots of different ones. And music and art is a, you know, I'm sure they have different types of music and art. I've tried to look up some videos and some stuff. It's intriguing if you want to do that in your time. And the urban versus rural dynamics. So this urbanization, that's kind of why it's worked out the way it has, I think, in Zambia, in Lusaka, is that you have this shift from the rural to the urban areas, and often being melting pot, you know, so in the urban area, you get more of the melting pot. You know, the people who stay on the country, they're the farmers, they're the, you know, they're not going to change a whole lot, but when you get all these different ethnicities together in the city, it changes, and it gives a little bit of a challenge to them there. But so getting back to my notes here, some interesting facts that I thought were kind of neat about Zambia. It's a beautiful picture of God's creation on display. Although it is in sub-Saharan Africa, so when you think of that, you think of what you see, you know, like the starving children stuff when we were kids growing up that we always saw advertised. You know, because they don't have a lot of rainfall, but it's very different here. They have, they're home to 5 vast lakes, 3 major rivers, and at least 17 waterfalls and various wetlands. So that's pretty phenomenal for being in sub-Saharan Africa.
So it's like Michigan, but Africa.
Much warmer. Nothing like Michigan. maybe in the summer in the UP when the mosquitoes are this large and they're eating. Yeah, okay. you might go for that there, okay? Also, some interesting facts is that it has termite hills there that are the size of small houses. That would be something to see. I don't know if that'd be a fun thing to be around, but... And Victoria Falls, the famous falls that's over there, is double the height of Niagara Falls. I never knew that. That's pretty intriguing because everybody, you know, talks about Niagara Falls. I don't think they probably ride barrels over that one, the way they try to do it in Niagara. I'm going to guess that's probably not a wise decision. Another really neat thing that would be one great reason to visit is they also are home to the big five of the African wildlife. And we all know what that is. It's the lions, the rhinos, the elephants, the leopards, and the Cape buffalo. So you get to see all that stuff there. I'm pretty sure they have giraffes too, but that doesn't come up in the big five. So when you do that research. So that's just some interesting stuff there. let's see how we're doing here. Okay. Now, find where The main thing I wanted to get across to about the university, something that Vodi has talked about on many occasions, Conrad Mbembwe, if you guys know who that is also, he's like the head guy over there. In fact, getting back to the Reformed Baptist movement, we talked about a little bit earlier, that like late 89, 90 is when I got started. Out of Lusaka Baptist Church, they planned and started church planning, and then Kubwata, which is Conrad's church, has done a bunch more. In fact, they've left Zambia. They are planting all over the place, churches. So it's really phenomenal what the Reform movement, Baptist movement has done over there. And again, I told you I was going to be going like... So, but just that to me is really wonderful what they've been able to accomplish in a short period of time when you think about it, because they've only been around for a little over 30 years to begin, and then to start this university on top of that. But the one thing that Conrad, and getting back to that, and Vodi have talked about many times, like they come back and they do speaking tours and stuff. And if it's, whether it's for founders, you know, because Tom Askell, actually, you know, the head of founders, he actually goes over and does some lecturing over there too. But whether, no matter what it's about, they always bring up the fact that this isn't just a university they've created. This is a chance to give a biblical worldview to these guys, to disciple these people. It's not just bringing them, hey, we're going to teach you how to do this, that, and the other thing, and boom, out you go to the world. No, it's to give them the right biblical lens to what, you know, they should take with them. We know we're not of this world. This is not our home. But we can still make a difference because we don't know who all God has called yet. And these people, when they're taught and trained there and they go out, they have this opportunity to come back, you know, and go to these other places. You know, these other, you know, Vodi has even made the comment out. Many, some of you may know the Babylon Bee, some of you may not. It's a satire podcast. And Vodi was on there the other day, and I don't know, maybe probably longer than that ago. I just saw it the other day. And he was saying on there about the about how Europe, you know, we talk about the Ahmadis and their situation over in Ireland, and how Europe is just a desolate situation. And all the growth that's going on over there in Africa, you know, you never know. That could be something that revives Europe, if that's God's will and if that's the direction he wants to take things. We don't know his timeline, obviously, only he does. But again, you know, I just think it's really awesome what they're doing. The fact that they're teaching people real practical, as you'll see in the video here, you'll get a better idea, but it's really awesome to learn practical world, you know, stuff that you could go out and do as a way of, you know, sustaining yourself, but to do it with a biblical, proper biblical worldview. So the way you act and treat and others. So, and that goes along with embracing ethnic variations at ACU, bringing a Christian worldview into the classroom at ACU, embracing a biblical perspective with Zambian culture, you know, because you're still living there where all this culture is going on around you. So, you know, like Daniel, you know, when he was taken away as a slave, cast all these other things, not trying to get too graphic, but you know, let's face it, you know, he wasn't facing, but he He didn't sit there and say, I'm going to make this a Jewish nation. He wasn't a Judaizer. He went in there and he served God and prayed to God the whole time, but he did what he was supposed to do within that, you know, system. So that's kind of, I think, what they're doing here too. So let's get to the slide that before I get ahead of myself here again. Diversity through a Christian lens, embracing ethnic variations, grounding appreciation in the biblical truth. Perfect example, biblical worldview, Genesis 1:27. So God created a man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we know we're created. We have a creator, you know, and then we're the creation. And that's apparently not what is going on over here right now. We have a Supreme Court justice lady that just got elected in that says she doesn't even know what a woman is. So they don't have that problem over there when they discuss politics or, you know, that's not an issue for the non-Christians over there as it is here. So that's what we're talking about when they're integrating this worldview. And reviewing Zambia's history through a biblical perspective, lessons from history in a Christian context, modern context, and biblical application. So along that line, the video is really good and going into depth on this stuff. So Brian, just click it. Oh, swipe up. That's right. We have it on the. Like I told you, I'm a real rookie at this technology. So Brian and David was a big help earlier. So, hey, I swiped it. Amazing. And it goes to the end again, which I do not want it to do. There we go. Now, Brian, is it going to play? Can you control the volume? It's about a 15.
Since becoming independent, Zambia has been striving to forge out an identity.
Think in terms of education in Zambia and more specifically university education, you're really dealing with an area of need that has not been adequately addressed. A lot of our own young people coming out at the end of that process with hardly any way to go in terms of furthering their education. And although we have a quarrel with the kind of education they have received, we still have to realize that as long as we have a lot of our young people not being adequately trained to handle God's world, to invest the rest of their lives into the needs that face our nation, we are really not fulfilling God's cultural mandate as we ought to. So we would really want to see ACU playing that unique role in developing the minds, the hearts, the faith of our people, a new generation of God's servants, as it were, in God's world.
What is African Christian University about? It's about presuppositions. It's about what do we suppose beforehand? What do we base our beliefs, our thinking, our philosophy on? From the secular perspective, God doesn't exist. God isn't necessary in our daily life. And therefore, the presupposition of a secular higher education would be that man's reason, man's knowledge is sufficient. However, from a Christian perspective, the presupposition, what we base our philosophy of education on, is that God does exist. Not only does he exist, but he's our creator. We've fallen from him, but he's brought us back into relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. From that presupposition, then, everything that we teach should exalt and celebrate that relationship that we have through Jesus Christ with our Creator. Therefore, every discipline, everything that we teach at African Christian University is to exalt the preeminence of Christ and to celebrate that relationship that we have with our Creator as we think his thoughts after him.
I believe that for a society to progress well, you ought to have ethical principles that govern people's behavior. And I think there's no better ethical basis of practice than a Christian ethic. And to me, I think that is where we are going to get the most gains. If we have these people coming out of this university with the fear of God as the basis upon which they go out to perform, that, to me, will bring us great development.
My ideal university, my ideal school, it would have to be, or I would like it to be, a place that, okay, though I know not everyone can be friendly, but yes, a place that has friendly people, people who are easy to interact with, people who I have similar interests with. I'd like it to be a place where I'm able to talk to my tutors, professors, and yes, where I'm not only learning from them in class and that's where it's, and I'm able to learn things about like real life where I'm able to relate to them. The benefit of having a biblical education would be I'd have a strong biblical foundation where it's, even if I go out into the world, which mostly is secular, I will not be moved by different philosophies that people have on life and even in whatever job I decide to take up.
Accomplish bringing in this presupposition of a biblical worldview into higher education? We've narrowed this down to four focal points, the first being a holistic transformation. We desire students' whole lives to be affected by their education, not just their intellect. And we desire to be a transformation, a work of the Holy Spirit from the inside out as they experience salvation and growth in application of the Word of God to their lives. Mentor emphasis is our second point. We desire the mentors to be someone who's personally involved in the lives of each student, and that they're not only relaying information, but they're providing an example of walking with Christ for the students as they interact one-on-one in this intimate environment. Thirdly, we desire this to be a benchmark opportunity. We think that African Christian University will set a new standard for higher education as we work from this biblical framework, and everything that we teach exalts Jesus Christ as the preeminent Lord. And lastly, African distinction. We desire every student to maintain a focus on the needs and challenges of the communities around them, that they'll apply the things that they're learning in their education towards a benevolent outreach in the love of Christ to Africa.
To me, higher education, that's where you really have this search, okay? We reach a stage in life about why are we on earth? What is it really that we were supposed to do and all that, you know? I think it really, really comes out at that age. And if we can have an environment that is conducive for such a stage in life where the word of God is shared, where values, proper values are brought out, I think it would really, really help. And from higher education, from the universities, these are the people who are leaders now in most of the organizations. What it means is that even in organizations, we have right values, okay, right working cultures and agree, and the principles that would be able to be God-centered and achieve much even for our nation, for our nations. So I see African Christian University as one of the, maybe I would say, pioneer universities, which will be able to be to be oriented in a certain perception of what is required of higher education and what is it that we want to achieve from higher education. So I would really, really support the idea, because I think it will be a model even in Africa that it would be able to bring out the truths that are supposed to come out through these institutions and through the higher learning.
Yeah, I take science to really indicate that discovering what God has put out there. I mean, the Bible simply tells us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and you know, and the creatures. But it certainly will not tell you the details, because the intention of it is just, you know, to point us to the Savior. But the details were left within the head. The Lord did that so that we have this pleasure of discovering really what He has created. And so that is really science. It's explaining, really. I don't think we can from nowhere create things. We create what the Lord has already put in there. The cameras, the chemicals, everything else. And we're able to do that because the Lord gave them those properties. And for our benefit. So there shouldn't be any confusion. But as a result of sin, I think you end up with people going haywire, you know, in different directions. I say to my students, can you imagine if we, if the Lord hadn't put the laws in such a way that, you know, the planets move beautifully, and we were to create and try and calculate, I mean, we would have incredible crashes. You know, this planet is hitting into that. But I think a serious scientist will just sit back and marvel at God's creation.
I do see a very clear principle here which will benefit this country. You know, education is only important in as much as it imparts skills to its adherents, and once they graduate, they are sent out to go and do some effective and very organized work, which will show in the effects on the various communities. We have seen, for example, that those institutions which have been blessed to have right-looking Christians who are at the head of them, there has been a lot of accountability, there has been a lot of productivity, and progress has been made. When the African Christian University has had its time to run, and graduates coming from there, because of the principles of Christian excellence, because of the principles of Christian stewardship, we do believe that even from the fraternity of the people that will be teaching, the students that will go there, and as a parent I can't wait to have my children go there, they will have a very serious God-centered, Christ-centered approach. And for them, it is to honor this God. And as a result of that, there will be good results, definitely. And in God's hand, it will help to really elevate the stakes of this country in various areas. We are not a developed country. And as a result of that, there are a lot of areas. Look at agriculture, look at mining and all these things which are being done. Look at the vast lands that are yet to be subdued. What a pleasure that the African Christian University has this unique opportunity to send out an army of people, women, men, and all genders in that sense, to go out, and when they find some job to do, whether they are in transportation, whether they are in any supplying of various goods or services, They will do it to the glory of their God. This country is land-linked. It has 8 neighbors right round about it. What a pleasure that when word has gone out, we can affect not only the communities they go back to, but it will overflow to Malawi, to Zimbabwe, to Namibia, and all these, the Democratic Republic of Congo, all these countries with whom we have to do immediately in our vicinity. And because the Earth continent now is rather a big global village, we know that, as they say in the African proverb, the one who beats the drum doesn't know how far the sound travels. And we know that in God's hand, the laborers that will come out of the African Christian University will really go up and increase the productivity of this country, and God will be greatly glorified.
The strategic nature of this moment is that we have in Zambia men of robust convictions, men who are solid, who are African, have a zeal for seeing a great world-class university established. I don't know of any place in the world where there is an indigenous work that is this robust and this strong. I've had the privilege of traveling all over the world, and I think that what's going on in Zambia is truly unique. And so it forms a very strategic opportunity to found something that could be enduring and could really greatly impact the entire southern half of the continent of Africa, indeed, perhaps even all of Africa.
Off a little bit there, okay. Hopefully you got out of that, though, what I was talking about earlier, how important it is, that biblical worldview, how they just, you know, that's so important, that what they're producing isn't just students with degrees, but that they're going out with the right content and character to take on with that. So, but I knew that would bring that home. So let's get back to the, if I can pull it up. Okay, we're there. Okay. Another thing, in the corner there, the young lady with Killian's two twins, I believe it is. Her name is Constance. So she's a success story as a student. I wanted to get to this. I'm still going to go back over Killian's, you know, reasoning for going and stuff, but I wanted to get to this, make sure I didn't miss this part. See here. Yeah, she had a she was a long way because she was an orphan, and she ended up getting to the university. That's an accomplishment in itself. And then she's now an alumnus, but she, from her time of graduating with her agricultural degree, she went to work first off with a local agricultural company, which I'm not sure what that entails, but because they don't have a lot of like industry, but. But she started her own entrepreneurial venture after that. This is what me and when we had been on with Mike during the Zoom, this is what he talked about, how they can produce all kinds of produce and stuff like tomatoes, but they, you know, they just don't last. They don't have the, you know, manufactured stuff to preserve. So she came up with a way that the farmers could, you know, cut and dry their produce to keep it for longer periods of time. And, you know, so she, by doing this, she ventured in, you know, she added value to the farmer's produce by drying it, aiming to boost all farmers' profitability. And her impact on the local community, empowering farmers, her goal to assist farmers, aligns with ACU's vision of community upliftment that we just heard about. Model for future students, Constance's journey serves as an inspiration to current and future ACU students. So thought that was a really... really good and interesting thing that, you know, I wanted to bring up. Getting back to the Killians family. Again, that's Ben in his vice chancellor outfit. That was what he talked to me and Mike about that day. That's one of the things he's got about 2 more months, I think, when I sat and did the math and when we talked. He's probably got a couple months left. And it's basically, does he want to keep on doing it? And do the elders, or the board, which is made up of elders from the Reformed Baptist Church around there, do they want him to continue in that? And, you know, it's a big responsibility. He's got a young family. He's also still teaching agriculture. You know, and then to be vice chancellor, I can't really tell you exactly what that means. I'd say it's pretty high up there, because if you pull up faculty, that's like one of the top spots when you pull up faculty. So it's a lot of responsibility. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. They're bought in totally. I mean, what's going on there? So what drew the Killians to ACU? It was a timely opportunity. The journey to ACU began at a pivotal moment in his life and academic career. As he was immersed in graduate studies and research, the opportunity at ACU presented itself. It was as if two paths converged, his professional aspirations and his biblical convictions. Aligning professional goals with spiritual values. More than just an academic role, teaching at ACU was not merely a professional move. It was a step towards fulfilling a deeper calling. It represented an opportunity to be part of an institution where his role as an educator would go beyond imparting knowledge and shaping lives through a Christian worldview again. You know, he's not just teaching, he's not just educating, he's discipling at the same time. The appeal of ACU. A unique academic setting. ACU stood out as a unique academic setting where faith and science, as you heard in that video, that's one of the things I wanted you to get out of it, that faith and science go together. They're not separate things. It's not like you have to be a scientist only and you can't believe in, you know, that it goes together. So, and the possibility of teaching and researching in an environment that not only allows but encourages exploration of science through a biblical lens was immensely appealing. Embracing the challenge, a new academic adventure, the decision to join ACU was also a step into somewhat uncharted territory, contributing to a growing institution where he could play a role in developing a Christian academic culture. Again, back to the same thought process. It was an exciting challenge that promised to enrich my professional journey and spiritual growth. Vision for ACU, impact on sub-Saharan Africa, stood out as not just a local educational institution, but a beacon with potential regional impact. It was seen as a place where the future leaders of Christian communities across sub-Saharan Africa could be nurtured and developed. Foundation building, the opportunity to contribute to an institution in its foundational phase was compelling. It meant being a part of shaping the ethos, academic standards, and Christian values that would define ACU and its impact on students and society. Christian mission, educating with a Christian perspective. The motivation to join ACU is fueled by the desire to provide an education that is deeply rooted in Christian values. This goes beyond integrating faith into the curriculum. It involves modeling and instilling Christian virtues in the next generation. Community contribution. Being part of ACU was seen as a means to contribute positively to the Christian community in Zambia, impacting not only the academic sphere, but also the spiritual and moral fibers of society. And a commitment to educational excellence, rigorous academic pursuits with Christian values, balancing excellence and faith at ACU. We have a firm belief that academic rigor and Christian faith are not mutually exclusive, but complementary. The commitment is to uphold high academic standards while embedding Christian principles in every aspect of learning. Innovative teaching, embracing innovative teaching methods that resonate with Christian values, ensuring students not only learn, but grow in their faith. You know, and being a part of the building there, the kingdom building that's going on. You know, some of the challenges that they've had there, basically he didn't go into a whole, I'm sure there's way more than what he says here, but one that is very normal when you get different cultures together is time perception. I don't know if you've ever, I lived in Jackson, Mississippi for 1 year after high school. I did some mission work down there. And the difference between Jackson, Mississippi and Fort Wayne, Indiana, or Garrett, was way different. They would show up to church an hour into the sermon, and the sermon would go on for another hour and a half. So just a different, you know, but it doesn't mean that they weren't, you know, just different. So it's often viewed through a relational lens rather than strict schedules. Emphasis is on relationships over punctuality. This can be a balancing problem as universities need to run on time and Christians ought to value time as our most limited resource. Adapting to local norms, it is important to learn to value relationships and community interactions over strict adherence to time. And of course, property and financial values, the way we view stuff, like my money's my money, and they view it as like it's everybody's money, and property isn't like a thing like it is here, you know. Like, well, if you have all that plan, well, you can do, you know. So it's a different thinking on that. So, again, to just kind of wrap it up, I want to thank the elders for picking, you know, ACU and the church, too, and all the rest of the missions that we're supporting in Ireland, Barbados, Argentina, you know, because we're doing true kingdom work, you know. And this is part. So I just want everybody to get excited about what we're helping to accomplish and to make happen by supporting these missionaries and all the things. We are building the new living, you know, temple that's coming. You know, we are part of that by building this. So that's basically where I wanted to take it, so that, you know, to understand and get excited about the missions that we are supporting, and not just ACU, but all of them, so that we can, you know, carry on. David, if you'd close us in prayer, I appreciate that.